Life happens fast. Be financially ready. Call Mesiro, 877-MESIROW.
It's a Mesiro Monday. Hello, everyone. John Hansen here. Greg Lunsford, the doctor of retirement, I like to call you, my friend. I mean, you do have a doctorate, right?
I do, and I thank you for the compliment.
Yeah, so I should be saying Dr. Lunsford. Can I still call you Greg?
So my rule of thumb is if you're a good guy, you can call me Greg, but if you're not, it's Dr.
Well,
Lunsford.
Well, Dr. Lunsford, it's good to have you here today.
you're a good guy. Greg works fine.
Okay, fine. All right, just I didn't want to assume. All month long, you might have heard our live episode last week. Now we start a series of podcasts here throughout the rest of August. And the topic is things ain't like they used to be, Greg.
They most certainly are not.
And we mean that in sort of a generational rift, which is probably a tale as old as time. As you get a little older, you look at the younger generation and you go, they're not doing it the right way. They're not working the right way. They're not saving the right way. They're not buying houses the right way. Whatever, they're not listening to the right music. It's a thing, right? This generational rift. But
absolutely.
I think what's very noticeable, and you pointed this out last week on the show, things really are different for a Gen Z than they were for a Gen X, for a boomer, even for a millennial. I mean, it's hard to look down to Gen Z and say, here's what you should be doing, when the reality is the ballgame's changed in many ways.
The ballgame has changed a great deal, and it's not fair for them to be compared to how we did things. Once we came into an economy, the boomers came out of great economic growth, right? So there was opportunity all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Gen Xers, like myself, we came into the game when there was maybe the beginning of recessionary periods. We were slowing down in manufacturing and all of that. But we learned how to figure things out on our own.
Tech boom.
Right. And so then we go and we look at the millennials that followed and the Gen Z that followed them and say, you know, they just don't want to take the time to do X, Y, and Z. And I think a lot of times we label them with that because they have the advantage of technology. So we basically say they let the technology do all the thinking for them, you know, or they, you know, they let something else. They don't take the extra mile.
Why aren't they beating the pavement?
Why aren't they beating the pavement?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, why aren't they using a landline phone? And it's not a fair comparison. The reality is, there used to be a standard life course. You left home, you established a career, you got married, you purchased a home, you had children, you saved for the education, your retirement, and that was the end of it.
Boom, boom.
Now things are moving in different sequences, and you can do those things still in that sequence, or it's not impossible for you to stay at home and then not leave until, you know, you get married, or you might have children before you really get invested in your career and go to school at night and change careers. There's just a whole different way of doing things. And instead of saying this is the way the societal movement should go, everybody may have different reasons for doing it different ways. And they are people and great examples of how things work out very well. I know a mother and a daughter that attended medical school at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mom always wanted to go to medical school, but she did the right thing for her time period, as she was told by her parents. She got married. That didn't work out. And then all of a sudden you got two kids you got to take care of. You can't afford to go back to school. So you get them out of the house and they both became doctors at the same time.
Right.
Successful outcome.
Different paths.
Different paths.
So let's kind of break this down. Leaving home.
Mm-hmm.
What's the data say about how many young adults? I mean, the phrase is live in their basement, but most they just live in the room that they grew up in. I don't know why we always say live in their basement. When I lived at home when I was 26. I had to come home after not failing. Well, kind of. In a gig out in D.C. We all got voted out of office, Greg. So I came back to Chicago, didn't know what was next, moved back in with my parents in Downers Grove. All I'm saying is I lived back in my old room, not in the basement. It's not an unusual thing for millennials and now especially Gen Z, right?
It is not an unusual thing. Actually, 50% of young adults between the age of 18 and 29 live with at least one parent.
50%?
50%. And that is up from 38% in 2000. And so what we tend to forget is we came into the workforce at a period of time where wages were more closely aligned with the cost of living. Well, when you look at a situation like housing is double, had an inflation rate that almost was double than what wages were over the last 20 years,
mm-hmm.
on top of the fact that, you know, students come out of school with student loan debt, and then because we do not talk about how to plan and budget and financial literacy, maybe they take on too much consumer debt. And it's kind of hard for many of us to be critical because a lot of us have too much consumer debt, right? They're in a position where they want to start, but it's just impossible to get a good start when housing is so expensive. And then when you throw on top of it, if you're in a city where there is a shortage of housing, that only drives the price up.
Can I also just say it's a very American thing to think that kids have to leave the home at 18. In Europe, that is not the case at all. And you're able to save up a lot of money. When I came back, my parents offered me a lifeboat to save up a little money. I was with them about 6 months as I got a radio gig, worked in traffic, made no money, but saved up enough finally to rent my own apartment. Not my own. I shared it with two roommates. But point is that those 6 months at home not paying the rent saved me. It helped me go where I am today.
So you raise a very good point, John. And I think the conversation, and we've been here in the studio talking about families having to talk, right?
Yeah.
The conversation kind of needs to go to families having more of a talk about, we talked about parents having a talk with children so children understand what liabilities could come if they ever have to become caretakers. But we also should have a talk with our children to set up a strategy and say, hey, look, I know it's not as easy as it once was 20 years ago, but let's come up with a strategy where I say, hey, we're going to give you a 1 year or a 2 year grace period, but I want to see you making progress to a down payment for a home.
Right.
Or 3 months savings for an emergency fund. So if you leave the house, you don't have to come back. Or contribution towards continuing education. Whatever the goal may be, this has to be something that you work together to come up with a strategy, a time frame, and people have to hit key objectives versus just saying, you know what, you kids just are irresponsible, right? That's not true at all.
Right, exactly. That's leaving home in early adulthood less and less, perhaps staying, or more and more staying in the house. And part two about establishing a career that you want to talk about, these things kind of relate to each other. You know, back in the day, my dad worked for the same company for 40 years.
Yes, and my dad worked for the same hotel for 30 years.
Right, the Drake.
The Drake. That's exactly. A great memory, John.
He was a great doorman, but he was a connector of many other things.
He was a connector of many other things, absolutely.
So he, and my dad as well, worked for the same company forever. That ain't the case anymore, is it? Establishing a career is not quite what it used to be.
It is not what it quite used to be. And this is where we have to give them some credit,
mm-hmm.
right? Even though, you know, the average person changes careers 5 to 7 times. And we look at that as lack of commitment to something. But what they've witnessed is the implied contract between employers and employees be broken. They watched us or our parents make that commitment for such a long time, only to in their final years be laid off or downsized because of an acquisition or a merger or something like that. So they're not saying they don't want to commit to work. What they're saying is they're trying to gain a certain set of skills in a certain time frame, and it may be done a different way than you. Yes, you wanted to be CEO. Guess what? They do too. But instead of being somewhere that may not be committed to them for a longer period of time, if I can get experience in marketing for 4 years one place and experience in finance and 6 years somewhere else and experience in an operation somewhere else, and that all adds up to the skill set people look for in a CEO, I'll go that path. So that's what a lot of us refer to in the academic literature as having more of a protean career where the success is defined by the individual versus what societal norms may tell them it should be.
Yeah, it's a great point. And also, like, you know, parents' generations, they were offered pensions. There was incentive not to leave. That's not the way it is anymore.
That is correct. They've watched this not only lack of commitment that used to exist, and I'm not saying companies aren't committed. There are a lot of organizations that are committed to their employees, but financially they cannot support you the same way, as well as things change within those organizations. And all younger people were saying is, I have to be prepared, and I'm not making excuses for anyone, but a lot of them look in terms of a career is not 30 years. It could be 30 years, but it's the renegotiation of a bunch of short-term contracts, very
yep.
similar to professional sports.
Absolutely. And guess what? People that jump jobs often make more money in their lifetimes by continually renegotiating what they're worth with potential employers, making them compete for you.
That's true. So a couple things we have to bear in mind here. One, a boundaryless career, I call this boundaryless because you're not limiting yourself to a company or even a geographic area or even a certain skill set. the expense that comes on with that we have to have a conversation about and help younger people through is that often requires different credentials, right? So there's more financial commitment to your personal training and development, and it could require relocation. So
More expenses.
And so some things that you need to talk about is how you get that credential. Using your community college system, everybody, you know, undergrad, make your pick, but you may not be able to continue to change careers and spend that money at Duke or Northwestern or whatever. It may be you have to get a good certificate through a local school that has it at a discount, or go through a training program, or use an online program.
Okay. All these things, the expenses of having to get more credentials, maybe having to be moving around a little bit, the fact that housing costs are so much higher than going up faster than inflation, all contributing maybe to the kids staying at home a little bit longer. All right. We've got the kids to 22, 23 years old. In our next podcast, let's talk about love, marriage, kids, and beyond. How about that?
Sounds great.
All right. That's a Mesiro Monday, 1-877-MESIRO, MESIROW.com. Want to live well? Then you need to plan well. A Mesiro advisor can help you create a financial plan that fits your life. Call Mesiro at 877-MESIROW.